Let's pray. Father God, we do thank you this morning as we look at the count of Christ's birth was announced to Mary by Gabriel, the angel Gabriel. Father, we do pray that you would speak to us. We do pray that, Lord, that we too can apply what took place over 2,000 years ago, that we can apply that today, 2024. And we pray, Father, that you would bless us, that you bless the mothers, you bless the women, you bless even the fathers here, those who are married, those who aren't married, that you would bless them, Lord, with this personal relationship that we have with Christ, Lord. So speak to us, Father, and we do give you the glory and the honor. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said?
Amen.
Amen. Okay, back in verse 26. So now, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God. And remember, it's God who sent this angel to the city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. So again, once again, we see Gabriel. Now, this is not the first time that Gabriel was sent by God. This is actually Gabriel's second mission that God said sent him, and sent him with a message from God himself in regards to the birth of Messiah, of the Messiah, of Jesus, Jesus of Nazareth. And the first time was with Zechariah. Now, remember, Zechariah was a high priest, and it was his lots fell on him to go into the Holy of Holies and to sacrifice and burn incense to the Lord. And while he was in there, and we're talking at an old age, Gabriel came and told him that Elizabeth, his wife, would bear a son. And they would call him John. And they're the parents of John the Baptist. So that was the first time that Gabriel came. Now he appears to Mary. And Elizabeth, she's already 6 months pregnant here, and she came to Mary in the city of Galilee named Nazareth. Now, if you know a little bit of history about Nazareth or Galilee, they border with a bunch of Gentiles. It was considered Galilee, and Nazareth was considered heathen, part of the heathen nations. And so you can imagine why Nazareth was looked at as being despised, a despised city by the Jews. Now, it wasn't a great place to be from, but this is how many in Israel felt about Galilee and Nazareth. And it was even a place where it was looked down upon, even the Romans looked at it. And so those who were from there, they weren't treated well. In fact, we have that account in John chapter 1. Remember when Jesus and he was calling his disciples, and one day he wanted to go to Galilee, and he found Philip there, and he said to Philip, "Follow me." And then Philip, he was from Bethsaida, which was also the place where Andrew and Peter were from. And so Philip found Nathanael there in Galilee. And he said to Nathanael, "Say, hey, we have found him who Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote about, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." And what was the first thing that came out of Nathanael's mouth was this: "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Now, I can relate to that because I remember my godparent, my Nino, he said to me, "Of all your dad's kids, I thought you were the worst and you wouldn't amount to nothing." That's what he told me. He said, "You wouldn't amount to anything." And this was when, I was saved and everything. But Nathanael says, "Can anything good come from out of Nazareth?" And Philip said, "Come and see." And I think that's the key. Well, come and see for yourself. You know, right now the world says seeing is believing. But when you have an experience with Jesus Christ, believing is seeing. Once you believe, you start to see. And you start to see that it is good, that what God has done, he says, "What I've done, it is good." Now, in 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 99, it says, "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose hearts are loyal to him." So you can see how they felt about Nazareth and about but I want you to know something here in verse 26. Look at verse 26. And again, here's where you want to take your notes. Because here in verse 26, it shows us that, you know what? God's not a respecter of person or of place. The Lord sent Gabriel to the holy city of Jerusalem, to the high priest Zechariah, and then he sent him to Nazareth to a teenage girl who was a virgin. It's kind of like if I lived in Del Mar or La Jolla, right? Right on the beach, right on the cliff of the beach. My backyard was the ocean. And God came and visited me there. And then the Lord sent, who wants to volunteer this one? Anybody? Frank. Okay, and then the Lord sent the angel Gabriel to Frank, who lived right there at the end of the dock in Logan. In the hood. In what we call the ghetto. Okay? See, that's what Galilee was. It was like the ghetto. It was like the hood, and they saw it like that. But again, it doesn't matter where you're from. It doesn't matter your status. The Lord is just looking for those whose hearts are perfect, in perfect harmony with him. That's what he's looking for. Okay? Those who are depending on the Lord and not on themselves. Regardless if you're the high priest or if you're just a teenage girl, God has no respect of persons. And he will use you just as much as he would use me. You just have to have that right heart. You know, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I think it was Moses and Aaron, when they were used by the Lord, they were in their 80s. Anybody know exactly how old they were? I heard they were in their 80s, okay? So you know when it comes to God using you, listen, because I hold this to my heart and this helps me, never compare yourself to others because it only brings discouragement. And don't ever feel that you're better than others because that only brings pride, because you're going to always find someone who can do things better than you. You will if you start looking for that. You know, when people ask me all the time, hey, Pastor Steve, or where I go somewhere, hey, how are you doing? I always say better than some and worse than others, because that covers it all. Because I am feeling better than some, so there's some who are worse, but then I'm worse than others. So you might be tough, but there will always be someone who is tougher than you. But the point is this, guys, listen, you write it down. God made you who you are. And there is no one just like you. You're special. And you weren't called to be somebody else because you were called to be like who? Jesus. What was that? What'd you guys say? Oh, me? We got one. To be like me. Okay. So we're to be like Roseanne. Okay. What did you say, Keith? Okay, yeah, that was good, Roseanne. Thank you for that. That was awesome. Yeah, we weren't called to be somebody else. We were called to be like Jesus. That's what we were called. Now look at verse 27. So it goes on and it says, and to the virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. So verse 27 tells us that Mary was what? She was a virgin. That means she was pure. She had never been touched by a man immorally, and she even confirms that herself. If you go jump down to verse 34, if you want to, she says that when Mary said to the angel, "How can this be?" When he told her that, since I do not know man. Now, I remember when I was a youth pastor here, one of the girls in my youth group, we had like over 35 youth kids. And one of them came up to me and she was crying because she was being teased because she was still a virgin in her high school. And I looked at her and I told her, listen, you go back and you tell those who are teasing you that I can be like you, but you can never be like me. You go back. Like Mary. Mary was betrothed to Joseph, according to verse here in verse 27, and being betrothed, it was like being engaged, except it was more binding. And this commitment lasted, it would last for a whole year or more. And a lot of times engagements were often made by the fathers of those who were bound to be married. And both parties would be would make mutual promises of commitment to one another. And then after the year went by, or a little after, or how long, the bridegroom would come for his bride at an unexpected time and take her to go get married. Wouldn't that be awesome? No, I know. Someone said, no, I don't want to wait. Hey, if I'm engaged and then I don't see him for a whole year, and wait, when's he coming? When's he coming, right? But that's the importance of being engaged. It meant that within the whole year, they would have to stay pure. They would have to stay set apart for one another. We're talking about the bride and the groom. And if at any time there was any sexual contact with somebody else, there was only two choices for this this binding agreement, this engagement to be broken off. One, whoever was unfaithful, it would be considered adultery and the results of being stoned by the elders of Israel. And then secondly, because being engaged, betrothed, and because it was a binding engagement, breaking it would allow the other to secure a divorce. And just like Zechariah and Elizabeth, Mary and Joseph had to both stay godly, be godly, and be in the right standing with God. And it was the Lord who chose them to be the parents of his son. And this is the reason why. Because it was impossible that God would choose somebody who was what? Evil or an evil or immoral man or woman to bear the Son of God, to raise up his only begotten Son. They both needed to live a right life and right standing with the Lord and with each other. And here is where those of you who are not married, okay, how many we here have here that are not married? Raise your hand, okay? Okay, yeah, just those of you who are not married. So I see some husbands raising their hand. Okay, listen, here's where those of you who are not married, you can use Mary's example of purity in her own life, okay? You can use her example. First, God expects those who are not married to what? Be sexually pure. Don't have sex until you are married. And then second, the purpose of this commitment is because God is looking for a pure woman, a pure man, to be used in the ministry of bringing the gospel of Jesus Christ to the world. So whenever you're married, or regardless if you're married or if you're not, you are betrothed to the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? And you are under the obligations of faithfulness, of being faithful to him, whether you're married or you're not. So as the church, Jesus has become our personal Savior. He has given us eternal life, and Jesus has become our bridegroom, and the church has become his bride. We're the bride. The bride of Christ. And in God's eyes, you guys are a beautiful bride. Frank, you're a beautiful bride. Wow. Lucky. Yeah, the bearded woman. You didn't know that, huh? The perfect bride. I'm the perfect bride, and I don't say that all the time. I'm a beautiful bride to the Lord, the church. Jesus has become our personal Savior, and he has given us eternal life. Jesus has become our bridegroom, and the church has become his bride, just like Mary and Joseph were committed to that engagement period of being separated and pure until the day that they would perform their wedding vows. And we as a church is also in the age of we're to be separated and set apart for the Lord. We have that responsibility of staying faithful to Jesus Christ. Now, I'm always saying this, guys, now is not the time to chuck and jive. Okay, if you were going to go out there and sow your wild oats, you should have did that a long time ago. Now is not the time to do that because we are too close of Jesus' return. Amen. He's coming back. Amen. And so now is not the time to go out there and chuck and jive, I always say. We are called to be separated and set apart for the Lord. We have that responsibility to stay faithful to Jesus until the day he comes for his bride. And when he does come, the bride and the bridegroom will be united together for that great ceremony, which is called what? The marriage supper of the Lamb. That's going to be awesome. Well, we're going to sit and have a marriage feast with the bridegroom, who is Jesus Christ. Isn't that going to be awesome? And you can have seconds, thirds, whatever, as much as it's going to be a smorgasbord. It ain't going to matter. But I want to remind you of two very important scriptures that are meant for the bride, for you, for the church, for the body of Christ, for you and for me. First is 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 11 through 17. And you can read that yourself. So I'm just going to break it down in verse 14 there. Paul says, hey, as the body of Christ, as the bride of Christ, don't be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. And then in verse 16, he says, if you do that, then God says, I will dwell in them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from among them and be separated, saith the Lord, and do not touch what is unclean. I mean, the Lord tells us right there how he wants us to stay pure before him. And then 1 John, John tells us in chapter 2, verse 15 and 17, he says this, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anybody loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but it's of the world. So again, we're told as the body of Christ, the word of God here tells us how the bride can stay faithful until the bridegroom comes for his bride, when Jesus comes back for us. Now look at verse 28. And so the angel comes to Mary, and the angel says to her, rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you, and blessed are you among women. Isn't that a beautiful conversation to have with one of God's angels, to have with God himself? I think this is a very encouraging experience to have with the Lord. Look at what the Lord wanted Mary to know through Gabriel, the angel. Now write it down. Here we go. Because I believe these are the words that the Lord also wants you to know as well. Look at the three encouragements that were spoken to Mary. That the Lord felt she needed to know. Okay, just as much as we need to know as well. Highlight them. Write them down. Look at them. I want you to look at them. Highlight them in the Bible next to you if you have to. Look at verse 28. Three encouragements here that the Lord wanted Mary to know. One, that she was highly favored. Okay? Mothers, you're highly favored. Two, the Lord is with you. I mean, do you feel that this morning? Yeah. I do. And then three, she was blessed. Three encouragements right there. Three very simple and yet very meaningful statements that were said about Mary. And I often, when I read about Mary, what's said about Mary, I think, I wonder what's said about me. I know what the Lord says about me, but what about the Lord? I wonder what he said, others say about me. Well, Mary was going to be highly favored by God. Now, the interesting thing is that she's not told why at this moment. She doesn't know why. Maybe the Lord was giving Mary time to adjust what was going on with this angel Gabriel. You know, he's standing right before her. We're talking an angel. How many of you have seen an angel? How many of you have been in contact with an angel? I have. I didn't know then. Oh, there. He's getting some good brownie points. Yeah, look at, she's like, good answer. I married one. I married one too. Yeah, an angel. Works, yeah. I think she's out there somewhere. Okay. Yeah, look at, Mary was going to be highly favored, but again, she's not told why. But she's standing before Gabriel, this angel standing before her, and God knows exactly how much we can handle at a time, okay? And she's about to be told after this, she's about to be told that she's what? She's going to be pregnant, okay? This is what Gabriel's going to tell. You're going to be pregnant, okay? But it's going to happen before she gets married. You're going to get pregnant, but you won't be married. Well, think about that, okay? And it's going to, okay? And that it will happen through the Holy Spirit. And that Joseph would not be the father. And that this would not be an ordinary conception. It wouldn't be an ordinary birth. It's not even going to be an ordinary baby that she's going to be carrying, because she's going to be carrying the Son of God, God himself. And that she would be the mother of what? The Messiah, which probably all of the young ladies back then were hoping to be that, because they knew the scriptures. I mean, think about it, that. That's a lot to handle at one time. What if the Lord came to you and said, hey, you know what? You're going to get pregnant, but you're not going to be married. Wait a minute. That's Lord. And your fiancé isn't going to be the father. Oh, man, I'm in trouble now, right? And you're going to have the Messiah. But for now, he tells her that what? She's highly favored by God. I mean, what a great honor and privilege. She was highly favored by God. Highly favored means that she was full of the grace that can only come from God. She found grace from God. Well, listen, write it down. What was told and true to Mary is also true for you as well. If you truly are in Christ Jesus, then you are highly favored, as just as Mary was. She was full of grace. Are you full of grace? Are you?
Yes, sir.
Okay. She was blessed by God. Are you blessed by God? The Lord was with her. Is the Lord with you? She will carry the Son of God. You too have the Son of God. But you have him in your heart. It was physical for her, but for you, it's spiritual. You are spiritually, you carry the Son of God in your heart. So you actually share with what Mary had, but in a spiritual way. Isn't that awesome? How God relates that to us? Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Listen to what Paul says. He says, blessed be God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Just as he chose us in him before the foundations of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, and having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praises of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. Man, I just love that word when God says, you're my beloved. You're my beloved. Also, the Lord is always with us, right? You feel it, right? You see it. He's always with us. Matthew chapter 28. Verse 18, Jesus told his disciples before, you know, that great commission. He told them at the end, he says, hey, I am always with you, even to the end of the age. Amen. Ain't that encouraging? Even to the end. Whether Jesus comes back that end or you take your last breath, I am always with you. Whatever comes first, we're winners. It doesn't matter. I'd rather go with every one of us together in the rapture. Wouldn't that be great? I think right now, there's no other place I'd rather be. Right now, right this moment, boom, I'm always doing this. When the rapture comes, we'll all be together. But if I give up and take my last breath, the next breath I take will be standing before my Savior, Jesus Christ. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. Jesus said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. How many of you believe that?
Yes.
We're blessed as well, just like Mary. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 says, blessed be the God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. Again, we're every blessing, guys. John chapter 20, verse 29, Jesus told Thomas, when, you know, hey, they told Thomas, hey, Jesus was there after his resurrection. He says, I won't believe it till I see it. And so Jesus came specifically for Thomas, and he said to him, Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed, but blessed are those who what? Who have not seen and yet believe. You're more blessed. I'm always saying, man, I wish I was there when Jesus walked the earth, but then I wouldn't be more blessed. Because I wasn't there, and yet I believe him, I'm more blessed than those who were with him. Jeremiah chapter 29. Again, I love this verse. In verse 11, it says, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, but to give you a future and hope. That's what God has for us. And then here in verse 28, look at verse 28. Gabriel tells us that Mary was what? In the bottom of 28, blessed are you among women. Mary was blessed. Now, many believe that she was around 15 or 16 years old when Gabriel came to her. And back then, this was actually the age that where the fathers would give their daughters to be engaged. But once again, what was her description? She was a godly woman who had a heart for God. That's a mother right there. And she was given grace. And she was chosen of all the women at that time to bear the Son of God, the Messiah. But I want to encourage you ladies this morning, okay? As you read about Mary in verse 28, it tells us that she was blessed. Look at verse 28. She was blessed among you women. It doesn't say that she was blessed above you women, okay? She was blessed among you women. You get the difference there? Among and not above. And nowhere in the Word of God does it tell us that she is to be worshipped or acknowledged as this co-redeemer for salvation. Nowhere. She was acknowledged as being blessed by the Lord. But she was only a woman. And what I personally like about Mary's relationship with our Lord is, listen, when I think about the mother and child relationship that she had with Jesus, ladies, how she bathed him, she fed him, took care of him like any mother would care for her children. He was her baby, okay? Look around here. You guys, parents, if your children are with you, look at them. Take a look at them. Because what I just mentioned about what Mary did to Jesus, you personally did that to your children as well. Yeah, right? I'm still trying to change my son's diaper, but yeah, he's right there. He need it. Where's your mother? It's Mother's Day. Yeah. I still change the diapers sometimes of my youngest grandchildren. But again, what's that? Not only if I'm by myself, but if anybody else is there, then you know, the funny was when they go to the bathroom, everybody says, not it. Not it. Whoever says it last has to go and change it, the diaper. So anyways, again, think about it. This is the type of relationship that Mary had with Jesus. She took care of him like any mother would care for her children. He was her baby. And then when she stood at the foot of the cross, this is what I love about this mother and child relationship. She was no longer looking at her son. She finally realized that he was no longer her son, but her God. Why? Because she gave him up to save the world. She gave up her son. He became her God. And I think that's the key to motherhood. I think that's the key. It's just like what Hannah did to the prophet Samuel when she was barren. And she was crying out to the Lord. And Eli the priest looked at her and he thought she was drunk. She said, hey, woman, how long are you going to drink? Go home. He thought she was drunk. But she says, no, my Lord, I'm crying out to crying out to the Lord because I'm barren. I want God to give me a child. And he says, because you've done this, God has heard your cries, and you're going to have a son. And so she had the prophet Samuel. And the minute that she winged him, she brought him to the temple, to the priest there, and she dedicated him, and she gave him up to the priest for him to live there in the temple. And there's Elizabeth and Zechariah, when they had the birth of John the Baptist, they gave him up to the Lord. How about young Timothy's mom? When he was born, Eunice, I think her name was Eunice, right? Yeah. Timothy's mom. She gave him up to, as a young man, to serve the Lord. You see, that's what a godly mother does. She gives her children up to the Lord. She gives them up to the Lord in prayer, in the word, in worship, in fellowshipping in the church. And in return, her children will call her blessed. Now, I know there's some encouraging mothers. I know that some of you here that where your children might not even be saved, or maybe they're backslidden, or maybe and they're walking with the Lord. You have the promises of God that they will return. But it'll be God's timing. The best thing you can do is what? Like Job, who had 7 sons and 3 daughters, and they would party every night at the different houses. And Job, in the morning, he would get up and he would sacrifice a sheep to the Lord on behalf of his children, just in case they sinned against the Lord. That's what you can do as a mother, is intercede for your sons and your daughters. Prayer. That's the best thing to do. You pray for them. You encourage them. Because they have to make their own choices. Obviously, they're older. But you give them that godly counsel. And like Mary, God does favor you as well. He saved you. He uses you. And because you are favored by God, what comes with that is a greater responsibility and privilege to make yourself available, what? To receive his blessings. God wants you to receive his blessings. You know, when I get to heaven, I think I'm going to see all the blessings that I missed out on. God said, see, you could have been blessed right here. You could have been, what's that big old giant box full of stuff? What is all this? Oh, that's all the stuff that I wanted to bless you with. It is the blessing. It's a blessing to know that he's what? Watching over you, not only in your past, he watches over you in the present, and he will be watching over you in the future. Amen. Yeah. Because why? Our past, our present, and our future is in his hands, not Allstate. I just saw that commercial not too long ago. You're in good hands with Allstate. No. God promised to walk with us through life here on earth and eternity. Look at verse 29. But when she saw him, she was troubled and said, hey, and she was saying and considering, what manner of greeting was this? She was troubled because why? She's human. And she was shocked to hear such words of great honor, and the fact that this angel told her that she was highly favored by the Lord, that the Lord was with her, and that she was blessed among women. This would cause anybody to be troubled, especially knowing that, what, you're a sinner? Sometimes I think, well, how can you use me, God? I'm just such a wretched man. Oh, like Paul, chief of all sinners. I'm sure, like all of us would be, Mary, she was troubled. Why? Because she didn't understand how God could so greatly favor a young person like her. She wasn't anybody great. She was humble. She wasn't into herself. She probably didn't feel that she deserved it, because sometimes I feel that way. But she loved God in her life. She lived a life that was where she stayed pure and responsible to God as a teenager. You know what? People come, we have some of us have some pretty heavy-duty testimonies, right? I mean, some, I'm like, wow, I'm glad I didn't go through that. But I think the greatest testimony of all is a person who's raised up as a Christian. Because they feel like, well, I haven't done anything great. No, you've done the greatest thing, and you stayed faithful to God as a child, as a teenager, as an adult. Amen. That's a mighty testimony. That's one to be praised. She probably felt she didn't deserve it, but she loved God again. She purposed that in her heart, and she pondered them in her heart that she was going to stay pure before God. And just like Mary, since Christ has come into us, right, into our life, every one of us can now be highly favored by God, to have the Lord's presence with us and be blessed among others. You're blessed. If you want to rejoice in anything, rejoice in the fact that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Look at verse 30. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. And he will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Highest. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. Of his kingdom there will be no end." Isn't that awesome? So Mary was told by the angel how she was going to be favored by God, that she would bear a son and be the mother of the Messiah. Now notice, there are three great important facts that are mentioned about the son that Mary was going to carry. Verse 31, the first one is his name. Here in verse 31, he said, his name shall be called Jesus. And like John, it was God who named him. The angel told Mary to name him Jesus, which in the Greek form, it's the Hebrew word Joshua, which means what? Salvation. Jehovah is salvation. That's his name. You know what your name means? My name is Stephen. It means crowned one. Dun, 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 dun. Like that chevron, what is it? The butter? Chevron. What is it? Imperial. Dun, 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 dun. Remember that when the crown came up? Every time you say Stevie, dun, 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 dun. So every time you look at me, I want you to see that. Dun, 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 dun. Okay? Jehovah's salvation. And Mary, he says, and Mary, you know what? His name's going to be great. He'll be above any other name. Acts chapter 4:12 tells us there is no salvation in any other, for there's no other name under heaven that's given among men which we must be saved. The name of Jesus. But it's also important to see who Gabriel is focusing on here, guys. On who? Jesus, on the Son, not Mary. Now, how in the world that anybody can put their focus on Mary as one who's supposed to be worshipped, as if she's the one that's going to be great? That she would sit on the throne of David, or her kingdom will last forever? It's not about the birth, guys. It's about the conception. Okay, not about the birth, even though it's unusual. It's about what's coming, the conception. Mary gave birth to Jesus like other women gave birth. But not any other woman will conceive a child like Mary did. So how can anybody put Mary before conception, before the Lord Jesus Christ? I don't know. I used to at one time till I got saved. In verse 31 through 33, Gabriel, he takes the focus off of Mary, he puts it on Jesus. Look at verse 31, and I'm going to break it up. He tells Mary, you're going to conceive, okay? You're going to bring forth a son. You're going to call his name Jesus, verse 32, and he will be great, and he'll be called the Son of the Highest, and God will give him the throne of his father David, verse 33. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there will be no end. It's about Jesus, not Mary. So how some got the worship of Mary out of the gospel is beyond me. Now, don't get me wrong, guys, okay? Mary was blessed and highly favored by God. But so am I. I don't see anybody worshiping me, right? No one's here worshiping me, right? I don't see anyone having a Pastor Steve doll. And if they do, they're poking needles in it. I'm like, oh, man, where did that come from? I think someone has a Pastor Steve doll, and they're taking the needle, and they're going like this. It's about Jesus. He's the reason why the angel Gabriel came to Mary. The focus is totally put upon him and him alone. But we do know that Mary was a, she was a young woman of the Word of God. She knew that what Gabriel was talking about when she when he said she would bear a son, and she knew that he was quoting from Isaiah chapter 7 verse 14, where it says a virgin shall conceive and bear a son. And the second fact about Jesus is his person. Look at verse 32. He'll be called the Son of the Highest. He was called the Son of the Highest. And we know that the Highest is God, and there's nobody higher than him. Amen. Of course, the Tower of Babel, Nimrod, he tried to build a temple that would reach God, right? But what happened? God took care of that. Did I say that right? The Tower of Babel, right? That's where Spanish came from. Right? All the languages. There was one language, and they're building the Tower of Babel, and God said, let's go down and let's confuse. I love the fact he said, let us, the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, let's go down, let's confuse everybody and switch up their languages, and that's where it all came from, the languages, right? I could be wrong. Well, yeah, that's right, right? Espanol. Wait, what are you speaking? Spanish, Spanglish, you know, and Ebonics, they're speaking Ebonics over there. Or how about Satan, when he tried to be like God, look what happened to him. So this verse makes Jesus the Son of God. Jesus, that would mean Jesus would be equal to God. And there's was another reason why the Pharisees wanted to kill him, because Jesus was the very nature of God. He was God himself. Romans chapter 9, verse 5 said, Christ came, who's over all, the eternal blessed God. Amen. Listen to what Spurgeon said here, and I'm almost going to end it right here. He said, no one has influenced history more than Jesus Christ. It's not proven. Is it not proven that he is great? Conquerors are great, and he's the greatest of them. Deliverers are great, and he's the greatest of them. Liberators are great, and he's the greatest of them. Saviors are great, and he is the greatest of them. You know what? No one has done more for you and me than Jesus Christ. Amen. So when it matters the most, he has done more than anyone has ever or could ever do. Amen. I'm going to leave you with the Mother's Beatitude. Have you heard that one? Anybody? Okay, here's the Mother's Beatitudes. Blessed is a mother who understands her child, for she shall inherit a kingdom of memories. Blessed is a mother who knows how to comfort, for she shall possess a child's devotion. Blessed is the mother who guides by path of righteousness, for she shall be proud of her offspring. Blessed is a mother who is never shocked, for she shall receive confidence. Blessed is a mother who teaches respect, for she shall be respected. Blessed is a mother who emphasizes the good and minimizes the bad, for in like manner the child shall make evaluations. Blessed is the mother who treats her child as she would be treated, for her home shall be filled with happiness. Blessed is a mother who answers simply the startling questions, for she shall always be trusted. Blessed is a mother who has character strong enough to withstand the thoughtless remarks and resentment of the growing child, for again, in due time, she shall be honored. That's truth right there, in due time. Let's pray.